The Gemara in Brachas Davov Amud Beis. And the reason for that, what is so special about Mincha? All three tefillos are equally important. So the Torah points out in Siman Reish Lamed Beis, and he says that the reason why Mincha carries with it such a koyach, because usually Mincha by definition is in the middle of the day. And being that a person in the middle of the day, so b'derech kal, the person is working. And he's occupied with whatever his livelihood is. And in order for him to dav minchid means that he actually has to stop and break whatever he's doing, no matter what he's in the middle of doing, and go into dav minchid. And being therefore that the sacrifice that is necessary to dav minchid is unlike shacharis, which is in the morning before he goes to work, sometimes it's also a sacrifice, not saying, but upon him it's before he starts anything. The shacharis and ma'ariv is at the end of the day. Whereas Mincha is right in the middle of the day, which means that he tears himself away from whatever he is doing and dedicate himself to davening and to be able to concentrate on davening. So therefore the koyach of Mincha that a person gives of himself is extra special. So explains it to him. That's why the Gemara talks about the cheshivas of Mincha. Interesting thing is that not so long ago, about in the year 2001, matter of fact somewhere in the five towns, I believe it was in Lawrence, it was a particularly hot day in the month of July, and something like over 100 degrees, which basically meant that a person that would stand outside just even a short while would be sweating profusely and so on and so forth, and they wouldn't understand what that means. People were going to Mincha, as they would always go. That wasn't such a big deal. You know, you'd come driving up in an air-conditioned car to have Mincha, and the shul also is air-conditioned. My situation was on that particular day, for some reason the shul was closed. Shul also had a shamus didn't show up. The shul also had a custodian, for some reason also was not there. The custodian, Bader Klal, would know the Zamani at tefillah, so he'd make sure that the air conditioning was on up a half an hour before, so by the time the oilam came, so it was already cool. No custodian and no shamus, nobody was there. And in the meantime, it was getting late. They were waiting to maybe somebody will show up. Nobody was there to open the shul. So they said, listen, there's a lot of lawns over there, you know. So you can stand on the lawn. And you'll dive outside, but let's pray. And that's what they did. So someone calls out Ashrei. And just about this beginning of the Kaddish, right before the Shemoneh Esrei, turns out that to say, a van pulls up. Someone who they didn't know who that is, but apparently he saw that there was an oilam there davening mincha, and he said, okay, I also need a mincha. So then out of nowhere just pulls up and he stops, and the moment that he goes out, the man collapses. He collapses right there in front on the lawn, and it seemed to be quite a serious situation. Nobody knew what it was. There was a doctor there, took a look at it, and it appears that the man had a heart attack. As a result, he says, you know what, just let's call it Sola very quickly. In Kachave, he called it Sola. Meantime, people, of course, were concerned. The policeman came by, and he saw what was going on. So he began investigating. One of the officers basically asked if there was anybody else in the car, in the van. And no one even thought about that. He ran after that solar guy to find the person who was on the stretcher there and looked into his pockets to take out some car keys. And sure enough, as they come back, they find that there is a 2-year-old child buckled in his seat, which could have been easily suffocated had it not been found out. You can imagine what would have happened. Of course, the child was saved. And the mother, the first thing says, I thank Hashem, he says, that the shul was closed. Because if not, he says, it was only because the 10 men were outside davening that this event stopped among Eden. So, and he collapsed at that particular time, which led to the saving of the child. So a double tragedy was averted. So here again, you see, Chshivas of Kodesh Baruch Hu plans his ways of how Yeshua takes place. And Chazal, in this case, is the Tefillah of Mincha. So again, we find Kodesh Baruch Hu, the way he runs his world. Let me just point out that when we talk about Bitochen just in general, you know, there's so many different madregas in Bitochen, but the one should realize there's never something which is called too little Bitochen, or sometimes a person that has the madrega already thinks that he has too much Bitochen. Bitochen is a particular meter that ranges that every little bit has cheshivas, and certainly if you have a lot, right, Avad has cheshivas, but you should never think that you have already climaxed and peaked in the madrega of Bitochen. It was said that the Kotzke Rebbe, that a young man once came in, one of his chassidim, a young man came in, and the Rebbe asked him, said, he can't stand him. You know how to learn? And he really, really was sort of like stumped. He didn't know what to answer, he says. Because he says, Monavshech, he says. If he says to the Rebbe that he does know how to learn, it'll be a shtickle sheke. He doesn't know something. So say, Echkenish, he said, I know how to learn. It'll be a shtickle sheke. On the other hand, he says, what I'm going to tell the Rebbe, I know how to learn. The Rebbe was a goyin ha-goyinim, you know, the Avnei Nezer, you know, when the Gedoy Lador was a son-in-law, was an item of the Kotzker. And he writes in the Hagdom of the Sefer, writes, the Avnei Nezer writes, the Sochichover writes that his Derech HaLimud in his Torah, he said, was koyin from the Kotzker Rebbe. Because Rebbe was a goyin ha-goyinim. How does a young man, you know, say to the Rebbe, ich ken lernen? So he figured sort of like the compromise. So what does he say? So he says, ich ken abissel. So the Rebbe said, Wer ken den mehr von abissel? Who knows anything more than a little bit? And the idea is, no matter how much you know, it's just abyssal. And if you know abyssal, it's avada only abyssal. The same thing is with bitachon also. If you have a little bit bitachon, it's abyssal. And no matter how much you have, it's only abyssal compared, of course, to the madregas of what of how one can reach. So just important just to realize, and maybe you have never noticed it, but the fact to see that it's a lifetime. It's a lifetime work and achievement and a mission to be able to reach, you know, Madregas and Bitochen. When we say in the Shemoneh Esrei, every time we daven, we say, V'sein Sochar Toiv L'chol HaBoitchem B'Shimcha Be'emes. Have you ever noticed that? That there's a particular line in the Shemoneh Esrei talking about the Kodesh Baruch Hu, V'sein Sochar Toiv L'chol HaBoitchem, those who trust in you Be'emes. And then we say, V'sim Chalkeinu Mo'em. We should also be Zoich HaLavai to be among those who have Bitochen. So we are Mespalel three times a day in the Shemoneh Esrei, V'sim Chalkeinu Mo'em. We should also be part of them. Give us, allow us, give us the Siyata Dishmaya to be able to also trust in you and to have the middah of Bitochen. Interesting thing is, you know, people have many, many phrases that they say quite frequently, and yet there is a particular posik or a phrase which would be the equivalent to that, which the Gemara says, which is a Yerushalmi, that a person should say many, many times a day. What posik should a person say many, many times a day? So the Yerushalmi says, Masechtas Brachos, the beginning of Perek Ein Ma'amidim, is between Rabbi Chizkiyo and Rabbi Yaakov Baracho. So he says, Le'oilom Yehei HaPosik Hazeh. He says, Mitoich Picho. A person should always have this posik coming out of his mouth. Which posik? Hashem Tzevoko Yisimono, Kodesh Baruch is always with us, Mizgavlonu L'kei Yaakov Selo. Because Kodesh Baruch always is next to us and protects us. And the other one says, you know what the posik says? Hashem Tzevoko is Ashrei Yodom B'teach Boch. Now, we notice in the davening, this posik is said not once, it's repeated three times. Gimel Pamim. The idea of Bitochen again to underscore it. To underscore it. And by the way, this is not just Bishas the davening that we are mispal for Bitochen, Bissim Chalkeinu Emoem, but every time. The Rishalmi says, Lo'oilom Yehei Posik Hazeh, he said it should always be Bitoch Picho. Well, so what that means is that in order to acquire Bitochen, you see, it's important to talk about it. It should be something which a subject, not on the back burner. And the more that we talk about Bitochen, the more that we mention it, and it becomes really something which we have in front of us, this will give us the koyach and the chizuk to be able to achieve higher madregas and better ways to reach our goals in Bitochen. All the more. Let me just say, they say from the, you know, the Slonimer Chassidim, it stems from the Kabriner, the Moshe Kabriner. It's also the Lechvicher, this is the we call them the Litvish Chassidim, but Litvisher, because we're from Lite. And he said, a remes to the idea of the Zgula, where a person can build up his system in Amunah and in Bitochen Hashem, we say in Hallel, we say, Hemanti ki adaber. Hemanti, I believe ki adaber, because I talk about it. So Hemanti ki adaber. You want to have Amunah b'Hashem? You want to have Amunah b'Hashem? So then, you should be aware of it. You have to create awareness. It has become something real. It has become something tangible in your life. So Hemanti, the way to be Zoichet to Amunah is ki adaber, by speaking about it. And of course, things that are important in one's life, those are the things that we usually discuss. Most people think politics, so that's what they discuss. That's important in their life. Whatever situation, which is they're called important, these are the things that people discuss. Well, here we have Hemanti Ki Adaber. So let us take a look, and this is actually something that in the past that we have mentioned, and this is a tremendous matona, tremendous yediyah. This matona, this yediyah has some strings attached to it, and that is you have to believe in it. If you believe in it, it's a tremendous matona and probably something which is truly priceless. And let's take a look at the sheet. This is the famous, famous words of the Nefesh HaChaim. In Shar Gimel Perek Yud Beis. Let's take a look at the first item. Actually, a few paragraphs we have actually here from the Nefesh HaChaim. Chaim Volozhin. Let's take a look what he says here. He says, "Ube'emes u'inyin godlus gula nifloi," Loshen of Reb Chaim. Be'emes, there is a zgula nifloi, not stama zgula, a peladige, an amazing segula, he says, for what? Lehoser ulevatel me'olov kol dinim, he says, uretzoynes acherim. If somebody's, let's say, plotting against you, or let's say there is something that's looming on the horizon against you, there are some forces that are able to harm you. What is the zgula nifloi that a person is capable of doing to remove it, in order to protect himself, to ward it off? That no foreign koiches should be able to be shoylet on him. Not just you'll be saved, but it should not even to have any koich whatsoever, not to have any shlita. No shlita whatsoever. What's this gula? This gula is, again, he says, when a person is able to be koveya, if you can firmly, establish in your heart to say and believe, haloy Hashem hu hulekim hu amiti, the ein oy milvado yisbarach, there's no other koyach besides the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Shum koyach be'olam v'chala oylam oysk b'klal. No matter where. He says, v'hakel, he says, everything, the entire world, the entire universe, rak achdusoy ha'poshut yisbarach shumoy. It is only HaKadosh Baruch Hu who plays the role and is in control over everything that happens. And as a result, when he believes in Einoid Milvadoi, if you can see that, a person should have in front of his eyes this phrase, Einoid Milvadoi, Umevatl Beliboy Bitul Gomer, and in his heart, therefore, he banishes and is Mevatl, the Einem Ashgiach Klal Al Shum Koyach Verotzim Be'olam. No matter anything that seems to have influence in the world, but in his mind, he knows it and he believes that it's Einoid Milvadoi. Because at the end of the day, what's going to happen is only what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, and if he really believes that, and firmly is able to plant this hashkofe in his mind, umishabed umedabek, he says, toyer machshavtoy, and he commits, he purifies his mind, rak lo odoin yochid baruchu, that Kosh baruchu is the odoin hayochid, he is the only master. Cain, he says, the same way, Yaspik hu yizbarach biyoda Kodesh Baruch Hu, he says, will help him, shememele yizbatlu me'olov kol hakoichos v'retzoyne sheboilem, shlo yichlu lifoy loy shum dover klal. They should not have any koich over him. This is a very, very famous in Olam HaTorah. Many mashgichim talk about this, that one of the greatest gulas, as he says, in order to be able to be protected from all evil, and to be able to have a constant shmir, the person has a mezuzah on his door, right? If you think about it, why is the mezuzah shmira? What is written in the mezuzah? It's not the shtick of plastic that's on the door. It's inside it says, Shema Yisrael, Shem Elkeinu, Shem Echad. Kodesh Baruch Hu is the only one. And basically this is the belief of Einoid Milvadoi. And if a person has the emunah of Einoid Milvadoi and sees that before his eyes, no matter where he walks, it's like he has a walking mezuzah with him. And this is the Einoid Milvadoi, but it's not just on the mezuzah. The idea is really to believe in this concept. And if a person is able to establish in his mind that Ein Oid Milvadoi, if he firmly believes that, this is his gula nifloi, that no koiches, no chitzoinis, no rotzen of acherim have any shlita whatsoever. And it goes further. The koich of Ein Oid Milvadoi, the more a person believes in that, saying it is easy. But to really be koiveya belibo, he says, betoyar machshavtoi. So it goes on to the second paragraph we have here. Vegam yigzor, he says, oimar vayokim loy. A person, then you find great tzaddikim, you say Bala Moifis, that what they say, they give a brocha, and what they say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekayim, he says, this is the key, this is the tool to be able to be geyser, you decree, and it takes place, it happens, lifoil, you're able to be poil, you're able to achieve, in yonim, he says, v'nisim nifloim, he says, hepech sidur koiches hativim. Your mom is able to change nature, he says, because kim shemishabed umedabek, he says, toira munah levovoi be'emes, baltimoit. The person really has a strong, firm munah that cannot be moved. That cannot be moved. Rak lo yizbarach levad, only na Kodesh Baruch Hu. So if a person really connects with a Kodesh Baruch Hu, in the belief of Einoi Bilvadoi, by Kodesh Baruch Hu, clearly Nes and Teva is Haino Hach, is the same thing. By Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's not more difficult to produce an S than nature. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ve'etzlo yizbarach hakul shoveh. By Kodesh Baruch Hu, it is all equal, kol rega, every moment, lifoil besidur hateva shekova, oy hepech sidur hateva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, each and every moment, either makes things happen in the order of nature, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, or decide to change it. K'moshe Metzino, as we find, Chazal tells us, was very common by Rabbi Chanina ben Doise. Chanina ben Doise would be the Rebbe of the Baal Moifis. Anybody who needed a Yeshua, needed a Baruch, would go to Rabbi Chanina ben Doise. Shehu Geizer Omer, he would make a Gzeira, he would decree, U'poil k'fi Ritzoino, he says, he was able to poil with his Ritzon, whatever he wanted, whatever he said, Koleis, Hepech Sidra Hateva. Ke'omroi Tainis, the Gemara tells us, that once that they were short in oil, remember that we mentioned quite a number of times, Gemara Tainis, Tav Chofei, so B'chim Moses says, so what? So you can bring vinegar. We'll put in vinegar and we're going to light the wick. He said, Misha Oma Le'shemen V'yadlik, Yoyim Alechoymetz V'yadlik. This was a common thing. Rabbi Chinim Ben Doise. So Rabbi Chinim Ben Doise, the same one who decreed that oil should burn, why does oil burn? Kadosh Baruch Hu wants it, that's why. Yeah, all the scientific explanations is that Kadosh Baruch Hu decided that if you have all of these ingredients, the mill is going to burn. So the same Kadosh Baruch Hu decides that Shemen should burn, Kadosh Baruch Hu can decide that Chaymet should burn, and Kachave. Because Haloi Ratzolaymer, what he meant to say to Rabbi Chinim Ben Doise, Haloi Etzla Yisborach Shove Zekim Ozeb, Kadosh Baruch Hu is not different. Chaymet, Shemen, what difference does it make? Legaba Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right? As we mentioned above. And Mameli says, V'chein, Hispika HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, Aboyer Baruch Hu, B'yodoi, Ukehena, he says, Rabois, Itoi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, showed, as we saw very, very many Nisim with Rabbi Chinim Ben Doise, Kemuve B'shas, Minifloi Sinyona, from the Peladigi things that happened to him. So the Yisoid is, if a person really is able to confirm the belief that Einoi Bulvadoi is a tremendous Segula, which is able to bring him into tremendous things. So he goes on now further and says, we have the third paragraph, now, if you look back at Avraham, Yitzchak, VeYaakov, what was their mission? What was their main Avodas Hashem? Of course, Avodas Hashem is very, very broad. But what was really the Avodah all the life of the Ovis HaKadoshim, what was their Avodah? He says, the Avodah, this was their Avodah, Keheimo Benoi Royes Tzidkosom. Because the Ovis were their Moiridigit Tzidkis, not Sam Tzidkis. With their Moiridigit Tzidkis, he says, V'taharas Kedushas Libam. And the amazing purity, he says, and the Kedusha of their heart, Hoy Medabki Machshavtam L'Rtzoinu Yisbarach. Their minds were always connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, called Yemein B'li Hefsik Rega. There was not a moment that the Ovis would be Masiach Das from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, literally, Shvisi Hashem L'Negdi Summit. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be in their minds at all times. And, therefore, being that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in their mind all time, so they were mevatel their own ritzoinis. Their own ritzoinis would be mevatel for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ritzoinis. Ubatlu b'ritzoinam kol ha'koyches b'olam. They understood that there's no koyches in the world that can achieve. It's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything that happens in the world is all through HaKadosh Baruch Hu's decree. So they were mevatel any belief in any other koyach. They were mevatel totally. Well, efes v'toyu, he says, nechshivu etzlam. Any other force in the world was considered to be to them not weak, but completely nil, nullified, push it, waste. It's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, the Ovis we find throughout their lifetime, V'lochein zochu gam l'nissim nifloim. The Ovis was zochu to tremendous nissim we find, B'shidud hamarochois utzvoeim kenal. That they were able to disturb, he says, the disciplines of the world. The disciplines of the world were disturbed for their sake. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is upon them, because they were also connected always with Hashem. They were never Messiah Das from Hashem. So we find Elokei Avraham. HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts his name Elokei Avraham. He's the God of Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, and so on. Why? Because they were connected to him. If they were connected to him, so Hashem's name is upon them. As we find, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself says in Shemois, Elokei Avisechem. Not just we say Elokei Avraham. Elokei Avisechem, the Pesuk says, V'lezeh Omru Chazal, Ho'ovois Hein Hein Hamarkove. What does it mean? The Ovis are the chariot of Hashem. You know, if you want to know, when there's royalty, and the king is most of the time is in the palace, so, all of a sudden you see that the king's chariot is going by, the royal coach. You see the royal coach, so you know that Mestama inside, that's where the king is. People have ways of knowing when the president of the United States also is going by. Be able to recognize the car. You see the royal coach, so you know that that's the melech. Why? Because that's the coach that carries and transports the king. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kibiyochel also has a royal coach. That if you see the royal coach, you know Hashem is there. You know who? People like the others. Because the Ovis, whatever they did, was to bring out Kvod Shemayim. Whatever the Ovis did was for the sake of Hashem. The Ovis represented, characteristically, that only Hashem's presence here determines what's going on in the world. So Kibiyogla Kodesh Baruch Hu is resting upon them. When you saw Avraham, you saw Hashem in him. When you saw Yitzchak, you saw Hashem in him. When you saw Yaakov, you saw Hashem in him. Because they are the Markova. They are the chariot. They are the royal coach upon which Hashem is. So this is that tremendous Nekudah. So this is Rabbi Yisrael, this is the Nefesh HaChaim. So we have this Nefesh HaChaim. Let's take a look, which are really fundamental words. It's without these words, the Ramban says you cannot be a Ma'amin Bechlal, you're not a believer. Three lines of Ramban we have here, number four. The Ramban says, Kosef Ramban, it's brought down a sefer called Hakdomos Ushorim, also a sefer on Nefesh HaChaim. The Ramban writes at the end of Parshas Boy, when from time to time when you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes tremendous open nisim, for example like in Mitzrayim, you saw the 10 Makis, you saw Kriyas Yamsuf, but the idea is not to remain only in waiting for great nisim. Ramban says, from the most mefursim the nisim, from the public nisim, great nisim, odomoide benisim anistorim. That brings you to believe in all the hidden nisim, which is not evident on the surface. Sheheim yisoid ha-toyre kuli, Ramban says. The belief that there are nisim taking place each and every moment, each and every time. A person has to believe it. You don't see it, he says. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu from time to time does make this open nisim, so then you clearly see the Yad Hashem. That at least tells you who has the key in his hands. Once you know HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the key, you know he's the Baal HaBos of the world. So Mamela, now from the nisim HaGdolim, you begin to believe to be Moedi, says the nisim Mistorim, the hidden nisim. And look what he says further. Very, very frightening words. She'ein la'odom chelik b'toiras Moshe. You cannot have a chelik in Toiras Moshe. Ad shenamin, until you believe. Bechol devareinu umikreinu. Whatever happens, whatever takes place, she'kulam nisim. The truth is, everything that takes place in the world is nisim. Ve'ein behem teva u'minhogei shalolam. It appears like it's minhogei shalolam. Shishdu atzazach v'minhogei shalolam. And Ramban says, this is not just a nice mitzvah, it's not just a mitzvah. Ramban's loshen is, she'ein lo'odam chelik b'teres Moshe. A person will not have a chelik b'teres Moshe until he truly believes that. Nu, comes like a Rav Dessler. Rav Dessler defines in his own words, what is the difference between nes and teva? An S is something that appears to be supernatural, and then Teva, which is natural. Truth is, there's no difference whatsoever. In the source, there's no difference. I'm Michtav Melio. Let's take a look in the words of Rav Dessler, Michtav Melio, in Chelik Aleph, where he points out and he says, it talks about the Nes Vahateva Baruchah. He has a mimer called Hanes Vahateva. And he says as follows, Vezel Shoinu. He says, the Kitzer, Avo Ha'emes Hu, Rav Dessler says, Ki Ein Beines Leteva Klum. Teva is also Nes. There is no difference between Nes and Teva. Hakoil Nesu. V'chol oilam kulo, he says, in the entire world, ein lo shum sibe zulus ritzoin yisborach. Nothing could exist in the entire world only because Hashem wills it so. Fact is that if you plant the seed and things grow, it's because Hashem wants it. Uritzoin Hashem's rotzen, that makes it happen. Hainu maiso van hagosoi. Hashem's rotzen, that is the maiso. As soon as Hashem wants it, it happens automatically. Except, when we call something a miracle, we call it an S. That means, an S means Hashem had a rotzen to something we're not used to. That's all an S means. Hashem means, Nes means Hashem had a rotzen to do something we're not used to. Teva means Hashem has a rotzen to do something many times. But it's all rotzen Hashem. So it doesn't make a difference. Teva we call Teva because we see it happening often. But it's only Ratzon Hashem. And Nes is also Ratzon Hashem. So why do we call this Nes Teva? Nes is Ratzon Hashem that we're not used to. And Teva is also Ratzon Hashem, but that we're used to. Because Hashem decided it should happen more than once. It just continues. So he points out. He says, Achidish Poil. He says, Bonu, he says, the fact that we see a Chiddush, so that all of a sudden, it boils within us. It accomplishes it chiefly. His sight of lives by Yad Hashem. When something supernatural happens we're not used to, so that awakens us, arouses us to see the Yad Hashem. V'zeshonu koirin teva. And what do we call nature? That asher itzoyno yizbarach, it's his rotzen she yasmid, yasmid loshin tomid. That it should happen continuously. The same thing should repeat itself over and over again. She niyye murgolim boy, that we're used to it.
Shateva ain't a metzias. Teva is not a natural metzias. El rak inyan shel hester v'chizanayim. It's an illusion that you think there's something called nature. Tzachizas enayim. Your eyes are being bluffed and fooled. Berdei shenuch alitois, that we should be able, says, to make a mistake. So that's the only difference. The emptiness of nevech. And Sofia said it very, very beautifully. A child that grows up in our natural world, right? So it's very, very common. I mean, you grow up on a farm, so all your life, from the time that you were born, all you've seen is what you plant seeds and things grow out of the ground. It's very natural. Can you imagine when Yidden left Mitzrayim and all of a sudden Mon fell from Shemayim? That was a nest, right? Why is a nest? That's unnatural. Nest is when something, expect Mon min Shemayim. Matter of fact, what kind of bracha do you make? Moitzi lechem min ha'aretz? So Bnei Yisrael says they made a moitzi lechem min ha'Shemayim. That's the bracha they made. That's what food came. Food came in the Shemayim. So the bracha was, Amoytzi lechem min ha'Shemayim. That's a nest. Nature says, no, food comes from the ground. Okay, so that's a nest. Mon is a nest. Now imagine, children that were born in the 40 years as Yidden were going through the Midbar. Those children were born, they never saw anything grow out of the ground. So for 40 years, Mon day in and day out. Mon, nochamul mon, nochamul mon. At the end of the 40 years, Yidden go into Eretz Yisrael. The Mon stops. All of a sudden, what do you do? So Hashem says, well, you go back the old way. You plant a seed in the ground, and all of a sudden, trees grow out in Paris. Kids begin to scream. He says, what, Ness? Stuff is coming out of the ground. Things come out of the ground. Things are supposed to come out of Shemayim. So the perspective is, what are we used to? Where does it come from? All of a sudden, what we thought was Ness becomes Teva, and what we thought is Teva now becomes Ness. It all depends what you are used to seeing and what attitudes you grew up. It's all Ratzon Hashem, says Rav Dessler. Ness is Ratzon Hashem, but it's a Ratzon Hashem, occasional Ratzon Hashem. Teva is a Tamidi is the Ratzon Hashem, but it's all Ratzon Hashem. What's the difference? This is Ratzon Hashem, this is Ratzon Hashem. It only happens because of Ratzon Hashem in either case. So it's all one and the same. Now, gives a very beautiful moshel. He says here, Hamaminim, the next paragraph. He says, people who are Maminim, actually gives different levels of Maminim. This is the first level, but Kaponim is like this. Hamaminim, it says, people who are Maminim, ki yiru b'chol inyan tivi masa Hashem. People are able to see. Maminim see in nature, they see the Masa Hashem. He gives an example, very beautiful moshel. If you remember, you know, the olden days, the olden locks, you know, you had the door. You know, then you had the key was put into the door, and if you took out the key, you were able to look through. You were able to look through that keyhole, and you could see what's doing in the room. But being it's a very small keyhole, so you're able to see very limited, right? Very limited. So Avdesla says, imagine when you're looking through a keyhole, and you see, right, a pen is writing. You see a pen is writing, but being such a small keyhole, you don't see that there's a person holding onto the pen. All you see is the chelik of the pen that's protruding beyond the hand. He says, Rav Dessler, imagine looking through a keyhole, he says. He's mistakel to chabayis, derech chur hamanol, right? He's looking through the hole of the lock. He says, eitz koisev. He sees there's a pen writing. V'layiru es ha'odom, and does not see the person. The yidme, and he could imagine, he would look to him, look, magic is taking place. Right? If you'd be a foolish person, say to him, magic. Looks like there's a pen writing by itself. Shoha eitz koisev is miyatzma. He says, Kahua Koifer. This says, the person who denies the existence of Hashem looks at the world and he thinks it's happening by itself. It's nature. It's like the pen. He doesn't see the person. He doesn't see the person looking through a keyhole. So all he sees is the pen. He sees the pen. He sees the pen writing, so it's a fact. The pen is writing, but doesn't see the person. So he thinks it's writing by itself. That is a Koifer, someone who's not Mamim by Hashem. He sees things happening in the world, but he doesn't see the hand of Hashem behind it. So he says, the koifer is a person who denies Hashem, sheyachshoiv, sheateva poyelis miatzmo. The same way. He thinks that teva, that nature works on its own. So what happens? Guess what? Then he opens the door. That same person is looking through the keyhole. Opens the door. All of a sudden, lo and behold, he sees, oh, what a mistake I made, he says. There's a person inside. He's holding the pen. All of a sudden, he had to open the door to see it. Now all of a sudden he realizes what a mistake he made. He says, avol yisei shepiseach adelis. You know, but when the door is opened, Yiras Odom HaKosev. So he says, Kach HaMamin, the person who believes, Yiras Hashem Yisborach Hu HaOyse U'Mesovev Es HaKoyel. He can see, yes, we're looking like through a keyhole. We have very limited vision, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. And Amela, he sees, he's able to see, the Chol, he says, Hasiba Yisumase B'nei Yodom, and everything that takes place, this is like a pen. In other words, so all the people, all the politicians, and all the presidents, and all the leaders, and all the kings and all the queens, it appears that what? That they are running the world. They are the pen in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says Rav Dessler. But you don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand. It appears that they are doing it. They are no different, he says. It is like the pen in the hand of the writer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses all the people to do his bidding, to do his shlichim. They are his shlichim. The tachlis, he says, asher yirtzeh, to the tachlis that he wants. You know, we say the davening kaveh Hashem chazik v'yamis lebecho. Then we say, right? We say, ein sura kelekenu. Right? There's no Rabbeinu Shloilam like our God. Ein sura kelekenu like our Rabbeinu Shloilam. So the Gemara in Bracha says the word sur actually should be read ein tzayor kelekenu. There is no artist. There's no designer like Hashem. Hashem is the supreme designer. Ein sura kelekenu. The Gemara in Bracha darshins ein tzayor kelekenu. There's no artist. There's no designer like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Yankel Galinsky, the Mol Gezot, famous Magid from Eretz Yisrael, short little fellow here, once many times spoke in the shul here as well, but once he spoke by Shalashudis, he once said, he started, very interesting, he says, hey, look around the world, he says, there's no Midis, there's no Decheretz. So he says, Melepten Avel Zokte Alle Midis and a bottle given. Says, all the Midis, he says, have been destroyed. Chutz one Midis still remains. Which Midis? Midah keneged midah. The way that you act, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to pay you back, he says. That midah, he says, is still around, he says. All the midahs, he says, in a bottle gevorn. There's one midah that still remains. It's midah keneged midah, he says. That's not bottle, he says. So don't take it lightly. So Kaponis, he said like this. He says, Moshe Madova Doime. He says, you can imagine, he says, that it was a king who summoned, he had a tremendous, he had an artist, he had a sculptor. So he summoned him and says, you know what, I'd want you to make an artificial tree with papyrus on it. But I want you to make it as real as possible. And this was one of the best that you can imagine. And Kachav, he put in a lot of koiches, a lot of effort. And matter of fact, he sculpts and he designs and he creates a tree with papyrus. He colors them perfectly. Then mama should really look real. If you did not know, you actually thought that this was a real live tree, Emzdigi Paris, it looked so real, due to the talent and the skill of the sculptor, that even birds that flew by, flew down and began to peck at the fruits, and then they realized it's all artificial. So the Bianca Galinsky, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also a gewaldige sculptor, he's a tremendous artist, but much more than the other artist. He created something called Olam Hazeh to make it look real. And we begin to peck in all areas of Olam Hazeh. Here a little bit of gold, here a little bit of silver, here this. We push all the different kind of buttons, thinking that Olam Hazeh is real. And then one day we'll find out that it is all bluff, it's an Olam HaSheker. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Olam Hazeh with such skill, with such talent, because he is the supreme artist to make it look real. Ein Tzur Kelekenu, he said, Ein Tzayir Kelekenu. There's no, the sculptor over there was able even to fool the birds. HaKadosh Baruch Hu fooled us also. He made nature look nature, and we think it's nature, we think it's real. My mind's emes. You don't understand. It's all artificial. And one day we're going to find out, like the birds began to peck. And then they realized, in fact, it was artificial. We're going to find out and say, this is also. It looks so real, it looks so emesic. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the tzayir, the supreme artist. He's the supreme designer, making it look real. We think this is emes. We think this is real. We think it's choshev. But that's what it is. It's only artificial. And that's what Rav Dessler is pointing out. Whatever's taking place in this world, this is only the pen which is in the hand of Hashem. These are all the peoples who are working. But there is a Kosef. There is someone here who really has control of the world. So, let me show you something here. About here, number 6 here in the bottom, which is a very interesting thing. That, in fact, the Brisker of Revelvel, his children brought out that one of the most frequently expressed hashkofes, he says, in Beis Brisk, was the Nefesh HaChaim that we learned a moment ago, and that was Einoid Milvadoi, to keep living and to keep building and to absorb the hashkofa of Einoid Milvadoi. To the extent that this is how he was saved from the war, which is another inyan, and someday we may talk about it, but the Briskerov's son, Reb David Soloveitchik, and he says in the bottom here as follows. The Chenoy Amaisa, he says, there was a Maisa, he says, Kisha Abba Zatzal Hoye Bocher. Abba is the Brisker of Revelvel. So this is Revelvel's son.
This is Velvel's son speaking.
He was a Maisi, said, Kisha Abba Zatzal, my father of Velvel, ho yibokhe no given abuche. Ho yitzarech, he says, lekabel pitur mahatzova.
In other words, they needed a deferment. People were threatened, Yeshiva Bochum were always threatened to have to be drafted into the army, whether it was the Russian army, whatever army it was, Polish army, army. So what would Yeshiva Bochum try to do? We'd try to find some way to try to defer.
So my father also needed a deferment. He points out in brackets, V'oz hoya, he says, Dover koshim oid, which is a very difficult thing, Shebocher, he says, yifter mahatzovo, that a Bochum should be able to patter himself, you know, from the army. So what did he do?
Nosa, he says, Itoy, he says, Hasab Moran Hagoyin Reb Chaim. So my Zayde Reb Chaim, right, because this is Briskrov's son talking, so he's an einikel of Reb Chaim. Briskrov was the son of Reb Chaim. So he says, so the Zayde Reb Chaim, he gigang mit Zanzim, mit Briskeruf. He was a bocher. Briskrov was a bocher then. So Reb Chaim the Tate. Reb Chaim the Tate went with him. They figured, if you want to find a deferment, you have to find his which chapter. You know, so some places that was easier to get a deferment. Depends who's sitting there behind the desk. So there's a place, he says, there's a place, Lamoke Masomach Lebrisk, there's a place that was closer to Brisk. Shesham Hoyekal Yoiser, he says, Lishachet, you could bribe the guy behind the desk. That was a mile. So it was easy, he says, Lishachet to be Mishachet to bribe is Hamamun Malkach. While they were traveling, right, to that little shtetl there, to that little village, Ube Meshach Kol Aderech, the entire way, entire traveling journey, Diberitoi, Reb Chaim spoke to Velvel. What did he speak to him about? He says, Al Hanefesh Achaim Hanal, that we mentioned before, V'hoireloi Lachshevelze, and he kept telling him that he should keep thinking about it. One more, Kudu Rabbi side, turn the sheet on the side. So this was the thing. So this was something very, very practical. So keep thinking about it. He says, you think about Enoid Malvadoi, you're going to get all the deferments that you need. Well, look what happened further. This goes back even one generation earlier, and that was the Beis Halevi. That was Reb Chaim's father. Okay, going back to the Beis Halevi, Reb Chaim Brisker's father. He says, Im Hasab Reb Yosher Ber Zatzal. The Beis Halevi Reb Yosher Ber. Shepam bo elov Yehudi, he said, a Yid came over to him, even as the name of the Yid, he says, Reb Moshe Rochel Zal. Bitzaokos Noroyes. A Yid came, Mamish, terribly, terribly upset. Tremendous outcry. Sheyatzalos, he says, Rebbe, save me. He comes to Reb Yosher Ber, he says, Rebbe, save me. What's the problem? He says, Kamishtara, he says, the police, the officers, Oiveres Ato, he says, the officers are going Machanus Lachanus. This man was a shopkeeper, and they're searching all the stores to see if you have Shvarze Schoir, contraband. If you're caught with contraband, it meant jail for many, many years. Very, very serious. So he came to describe, this guy knew that he had stuff, apparently it was not enough time to remove it or something. So he goes to Reb Yosher Ber, says, Rabbi, says, save me. He saved the going from store to store. The Oise Chipushim, he says, and they're going to search. Achaschoires, Schoires. Look, Schwarze Schoire. Sounds clear. She says, She also Levyachoik Laharzik, which is also according to the law, right, to keep. The Etzloy, he says, Achanus Malaya Bazaar. His store is filled with this stuff. Kach, to the point, Sheim, he says, Yitfesuhu, should he get caught, Yitztarech Leishev B'maser, he says, Asor Rishonim. He would have to sit in jail about 10 years. Or many years. Many tens. A lot of years. Yosheber Zatzal Nechnesim Elecheder Hasomuch. Yosheber went, you want a Yeshua? He goes, takes him to the next room. He says, V'yoshav Itoy Kechot Shisho. Sits with him a half an hour. Kavoy Chot Shisho, after the half an hour, Bo Ishtoy Shalai Yehudi. Now the wife of the man comes with a simche. V'omrloi says, Shem Nitzlu B'nes, Mamish Enes, we got saved. Mamish Enes. Shamishtara, he says, Botko, the Mishtara check, Bechol Asviva, in all the stores, Al Chanoyus, he says, V'ilu, he says, Al Chanusam, Dilgu, he says, Melchapish. The nest took place in which form? That they skipped that store. They went mamish from store to store to check, and this store they decided to skip. Vizbarer, it turns out, knew what was the Sibra of the Yeshua? Vizbarer, Sheboy's his mom, that half hour, what was he doing with him? What was the Yosheber doing with him in that half hour? His bar, it turns out, Sheboises man Sheyoshav Reb Yosher Ber Hanal Ima Yehudi Hanal Diber Imoy Kolazman Al Divrei Hanefesh Achaim and Iskelel. He spoke to him about the mentioned Nefesh Achaim above. Sheyachshoy Bozehetev Tekach Yenotzel. By the Kach, he says, and so Nitzel Bemis, and that's the way he was in fact saved. So here's again, many, many practical Uvdis Lamaise, which happened because of thinking of Enoid Malvade. I'll just tell you this by heart because you have to move on to Chovis of Ovis, number 8, where he mentions, he says, Lamaise, how did the Yeshua happen? How did it take place that they skipped this door? how it takes place. So he points out over here, he says that what they did was that when it came time to really to check that store, it turned out to be lunchtime. You know, lunch is before everything. So they said, hey, we've got to go eat lunch first. But they knew that they have to come back and search. So to make a simon that where they're up to, so they painted the door red. They put a streak of red. Streak of red. And that was supposed to be a simon that after lunch, this is what they're supposed to check. So they eat their lunch. After lunch, they go back and they see the red sign. They couldn't remember, is the red sign they have to check or they checked already? The stomach we checked already, they said. So I'm going to life with something. So they didn't remember the simon. Says, no, how did this mistake happen? No. So he points out, he says, well, Shibeh sat with him half an hour, he says, and should think about it. He says, Enoid Movado, Enoid Movado. So Rabbi said, so let's take a look, having this gula behind us here, which is something we should take along with us. I've seen from time to time that there are people, or maybe even in a store, where they have these little cards, like people have business cards the size of business cards, but they have on it written the Rav Chaim's phrase, the Nefesh Chaim, with the Enoid Malvada, this gula in the floor, people carry it around in their pocket. So whenever, I say, oh, shouldn't forget, it's typically in their pocket and it comes out, Enoid Malvada. So there's always a friendly reminder there to remember that, and that's something which is very, very special for Shmira. All right, Rabbi, so we are here in Shar HaBitochim, Peri Gimel, and in the general Chovis Lavovis, it's page Reish Chov Dalet, Vim Yoimar, but halfway down the paragraph starts, Vim Yoimar Ho'omer. Vim Yoimar Ho'omer. It's Reish Chov Dalet in the Chovis Lavovis. So, Chovis Lavovis here is raising the following question. He says that Yidu has Bitochim, and Elchid a tzaddik, and he conducts his business the right way, the Erlich way, because Baruch Hu will provide for him. Person who goes right in a way which is opposite of bitochen, person who does not follow B'derech HaTorah, the means and the ways which are unethical means, so Baruch Hu will not provide with him. But the fact of the matter is, the Chovis Lavovis says we see many times the opposite. Don't we see many times tzaddikim Elchidin, right, who are struggling for their bread, struggling for their panusa? And at the same time we see, yes, Rishoyim, let's call them, yeah? See, Rishoyim, which do everything the opposite of anything the Torah wants, and they're Matzliach. Well, this is similar to the Shaila, you know, Rosh HaVetoivlo and Tzadik V'Raloi, but here we're talking about Pranosa area. So the Chovis Lavovis here is not quiet about that, and he does not shy away from raising that question, and also gives some suggestions. Before I give suggestions, he says to you, that I want you to know, I'm going to suggest you a number of reasons, and each one is valid. To know exactly, however, in each person's case, why he is struggling, which of the reasons that I give you, only Kodesh Baruch Hu knows, he says. But I'll give you some suggestions, or possible reasons, why it would bring to the point that Rishoyim might be Matzliach. Now he's focusing here on the Tzadikim, why Tzadikim might struggle. And he raises the question as follows. He says, Vim Yoimar Hoimer. He says, if the person will ask, he means to say the questioner will ask, the fact is, we see that there are many tzaddikim, or some of the tzaddikim, lo yizdam elohem tirpom, that their livelihood does not come el achrei ha'omel vayigia, after a lot of sweat and a lot of toil. Here we're talking about tzaddikim, and they're bala bitochen, no question in our minds, they're elohim. And yet we see on the other side of the coin, people are ancha averis, people are indulging in averis, that they are bishalva, they are, right? They are at peace. And we find b'chayeyim b'toivu banimim, we find that they live with prosperity and with comfort. So Chovis Lavovis starts, first of all, he says, Noimar, first let me tell you, ki kvar kodmu hanavim v'chasidim, that the question has been raised already. By the Nevi'im, he says, the Tzadikim, the Nevi'im, Lachkar al Zehu Inyan. The Nevi'im already raised this Inyan, that you're going to find that. And do not be perturbed by that. And he quotes a number of psukim to show where the question is being raised. He says, Mehem, Mishomar, for example, we find in Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah we find, Yirmiyah Novi says it quite openly. Yirmiyah says in Kapitel Beis, Madua Derech Rishoyim Tzalecho. Why is it that we find that the ways of Rishoyim are Tzalecho, that was that they prosper? Why is that so? Madua Derech Rishoyim Tzalecho. The question is raised. V'oma Ho'achar, he says, and then we find someone else, we find a Chabakuk. Loma Tareini Oven. Chabakuk says, why do you allow me to see sin? V'omol Tabit. And you can see evil deeds.
v'shoyd v'chomos lenegdi, with robbery and injustice. Vayihi riv umodo in yiso. And Lamaisa, you see that strife and contention remain. So you see that what? You see that there is avalus in the world, and people prosper. Of Omar, we find Habakkuk says, Ki Rosha machtir sa tzadik. He says that the Rosha surrounds the tzadik, seemingly that the Rosha has the upper hand. V'Omar also, Habakkuk says, Tachrish, you are silent. He says, Bevala Rosha tzadik memenu. We see that the Rosha swallows up the tzadik, who is more tzadik than him, greater tzadik than him, of course. And you see that he sees that he's swallowing him up. You see that the Rosh again seems to be Matzliach, he's ahead. The Omar, we find Acha, we also find another said, meaning in Tehillim. Hine Eile Rishoyim, here you have Rishoyim on the one hand, Vishal Ve'olam. And we see that what? That they are tranquil. He's Gichoyil, and they gain wealth. Rishoyim, see, they gain wealth. The Omar in Tehillim also, David HaMelech would seem to say, that you might come and fall unto a matzav of questioning. You'll say to yourself, Achrik zokisi levovi, it seems that I'm purifying myself for nothing. Ve'erchatz b'nikyon kapai, and I am also, and I'm washing my hands, right, with cleanliness, and yet, in spite of doing the right thing, ve'ehi negua kol hayoyim, and yet I seem to be plagued and afflicted all day. Ve'toychachti labkorim. Techapti labkorim means to say is that it seems that every day he says I'm confronted, he says, with Nayetzaris. Nayetzaris labkorim is every biker, every morning, as the day comes, a new day comes, it seems I have a new pain. And it seems I have Nayetzaris in spite of the fact that I appear to do the right thing, I'm doing the right thing. And Vomar Achar, and we find Malachi, another Novi says, Alanchi Doira, he says, Gam bochnu alekim, they had been tested by Hashem, and then he says, Vayim oleitu, and they seem to have escaped, that's what it looks like, the naked eye, the Harba Bazet, and there's so many more, where this question is raised. We see that in the VM, we find that David HaMelech is saying it, we find Malachi saying it, Habakkuk is saying it, and so on. So, but in Tanakh, you find the question being raised, but you don't find an answer there. Yeah, Alephreg. Everybody asks. Everybody uses his own lashon to express the question. So the Chovetz Chaim says, "Ach, however, but you will notice, yes, the question is being raised, but he niach hanovi hatshuva." But you see that the novi left the tshuva. He left it. Now he didn't bother discussing it, didn't bother bringing an answer. Bibir ilaseh, to try to explain. He says this phenomenon. Ilas means the sibah to this. You know why? Well, the reason the Novi didn't bother with it is because mipnei she'ilas kol echod v'natzadikim ha'nifchonim, because the sibas are many. And what are you going to start? He started enumerating, listing, he says, all kinds of different sibas. There are different tzadikim suffer for different reasons, and Rishoyim might prosper for different reasons, but he's going to suggest some. But he said, but the Novi, as far as the Novi is concerned, being that the sibah of every tzadik that is being tested, v'chol echod min ha'rishoyim shem b'toyve bo'il mazo, b'zeh he says, zulas ilas ho'achar, he says, the truth is, that everyone has a different sibah, why he is in that matzah that he's in. Lochein heyer al zeh b'yomroi, and therefore, he says, the Nevi'im basically would merely tell you, listen, the bottom line is, you have to fall back on one posik. The posik that says in Devarim Choftes, Hanistoris Lashem Elokeinu, which that is the ultimate truth, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the real reason. Hanistoris Lashem Elokeinu, that which is hidden is only in Hashem, by Hashem, within Hashem, Banigloys Lono Venenu, that of course which HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows us to see, we can see, but Hanistoris, the hidden, that's Lashem Elokeinu. By the way, if you remember in Ato Hu Hashem Elokeinu Bashemayim V'Oretz Gibor V'Narot, that we say, and many sing it, Neyom Neroim Tfile. You remember one of the stanzas over there, it says, Atzosoy Amuna Sisroy Yosher. Remember that? One of the phrases that we say in Ato Hashem Elokeinu. So when the Talmid Baal Shem Tov, the Sorev Strelitzka Tegzok Tazoy, he says, Sisra Yosha at Sosa Yamuna, that's the quote by Aleph Beis, Samach Ayin. He said pshat like this, Sisra Yosha. He said, the Yosha of Hashem is hidden. Sisra Yosha. Because Baruch Hu's Yosha is hidden. We don't understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yashers. So it's hidden. So at Sosa, what's the Eitzah? Amuna. Sisra Yosha. Because Baruch Hu's Yosha is hidden. We don't always see it. We don't see the reason. We don't see why. But at Sosa, so what's the Eitzah? Atzosa is amuna. So Sisra Yosher, Atzosa is amuna. So here, Kesol, and the story of Hashem Elokeinu, that's basically what the Nevi'im relied, because the bottom line is that which you have to fall back on. And he says, Vomar Achochem Medoimel is that we also find in Kehelas, we find. Kehelas says, Im Oishik, he says, Rosh, we see that the Rosh means the poor man is being like robbed. V'gezel Mishpat V'tzedek. And Mishpat V'tzedek is being, he says, suppressed. He says, Tira B'Medina, you see these things in the Medina, Al Tetam Alachefetz, don't be surprised. In other words, there are reasons beyond your understanding. Vomar Akosov, and it says, Hatsur Tome Poloi, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is perfect, Yichod Rochav Mishpat. Okay, so that's the bottom line. So the Nevi'im therefore did not go into it because every tzaddik has his own reason, his own sibit. No two people necessarily have like some have it the same. But there's so many different reasons, and every tzaddik has a cheshbon for him, and every Rosh has a cheshbon. So the Nevi'im didn't get into it, because the sibits are different. However, says the Chovis of all this, I will not leave you hanging in Gansen. He says, I will give you some explanation. He goes on to say, Vim Kolze, in spite of that, Ro'isi Levaya Binyan Azeh, he says, I take upon myself, he says, to explain, Masha Hoy Boy Ma'at Haspoke, at least to give you some satisfaction. A little bit, he says, but like merely scratch the surface, to give you Ma'at Haspoke, to give you some satisfaction, to alleviate, you know, the burdening question, you see that Tzaddikim will suffer, and Rishoyim so on, you see, our Matzliach. He says, Boy, man, I'll say, Ki aponim, he says, first of all, the reasons Asher Bavuram Yimnei Atzadik, maybe it's Kedai, let me just mention, enumerate it, that, first of all, just in advance, just very shortly, so therefore it goes very easier than when we see it inside. But the Chovis Avovah suggests that there's a number of things. First of all, he says, Ein Tzadik Bar Tzashe Yaseh Toiv L'Yechto. The difference is that a Tzadik, you know, that in any Aveira that he'd done in the past, Kadosh Baruch Hu is Ma'anish in this world in order that the Tzadik comes up pure in the next world. So, who's to know exactly, by the way, between closed doors, what type of an Aveira a Tzadik did? Even though he's a Tzadik also can slip, a Tzadik can sin. And by the way, the greater the Tzadik, he's held to a higher standard. So, it's talking could be it's an Oynish on a particular Aveira or Aveiris, number one. Number two also, because the purifying agent of being purified from our earthly being, he says, is to give him a greater chelik in Olam Habo. Third reason is, when you see a tzaddik suffer, and he still is an Oved Hashem, we learn from that. We learn how to deal in our own lives. Tzaddikim are the model. Many times people say, so how do you expect me? Look at what I'm going through. Look at those tzaddikim. Look what tzaddikim are going through, and still does not stand in the way of the Avodas Hashem. So tzaddikim, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that they have in this world, they don't have the comfort on this world, is because we should learn from them to be an Oved Hashem in spite of trials, in spite of going through all different types of challenges. And he goes on further, also to make it clear on this world, said the difference of the behavior when you see tzaddikim and rishoyim, that the rishoyim will know losad lovoy. Why, when they come to the next world, how come tzaddikim are going to enjoy so much olam haba, and they're not going to have it? They'll say, where's the justice? They'll say, tzaddikim already had all the suffering on this world, and they are pure, and we had the toiv on this world, because Baruch Hu pays the rishoyim more on this world, and therefore they're not zoiche to their olam haba. And then finally, very, very, it's a condemning thing. The Chovis Avovah says, you could have a great tzaddik, he says, but if he sees avlus and he does not speak out, kol mi she'efshel imchois ve'einay moiche, he says, somebody who is able to speak out and he does not rebuke, so we find out that what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds him accountable. So the many tzaddikim, the private life, they're very, very choshev, he said, but maybe they didn't speak out, I got many, many avlus. And that itself is a reason why on this world they have to go through what they're going through. But again, preparing the chelik on the next world. So let's take a look very quickly a little bit. Here the Chovis Avovis. Chovis Avovis goes on to say, V'yoyma, ki haponim, he says, the various reasons, Asher Bavuram Yimona HaTzadik, his damnus tirfoi, why the tzadik may have to, why he might find that there is hindrances in his livelihood. Tirfoi is his livelihood. Achi Yitrach Olov, he says, until he really had to be matriach v'yibochim boy, and he's being tested with it. It could be that there was Aveira that he did prior. He's chayiv lehipara mimenu olof. So melad is a chayiv, right? That he has to pay for that. K'moish nemar as opposed to mishle. Hein tzadik ba'aretz yeshulam. We find that a tzadik in this world, he gets paid. Means he takes the burden of his Aveiras and being taken care of on this world. Ve'yesh also, he says, there's another sibah. that sheyi al derech hatmura b'olam haba. The more olam hazeh that you give up, he says, and going through the process of olam hazeh with all the tircha, his schar in olam haba is enhanced. He says considerably. K'mo shekosov, as it says in Devarim, lehetivcha b'achrisecha, in order that you enjoy all the good in the next world. Vayesh, and there's also a reason. Each vayesh is another reason. Vayesh is another reason why he may have some suffering in this world. Sheyila harois, he says, sivloi vazbarosoi, that people should be able to see the patience that the tzaddik has in spite of his suffering, and the outlook he says hasbarosoi atoiv, his positive outlook b'avodas aboyeris baruch. Does not allow material circumstances to stand in his way of avodas Hashem. Does not detract from his emuna. K'dei sheyilmedu b'nei odom emenu. So he serves as a model. He says, "Come on, show your daughters. We find Minyan Eve. Eve also went through what he went through to show that, in spite of all the tzaras, Eve remains a mamin b'Hashem." The Yesh, he says, and also there's a possibility that maybe the tzaddik suffers sheyila rosha an chedoyroi, that in order, he says, that the resha means the rishis of the generation, v'yivchanu haboyre yisale be'oni, and the rishoyim see that the tzaddik has been tested with poverty sometimes, and sometimes he says, Uvrish, he says, Ubechaloim, we find him that he's being tested with Yisurim and with Chaloim. He says, Laharis Chasidusoi, to show the Chasidus of the Tzaddik. Vavidosel Lelikim, Mebalideim, to show how different is the way they accept Hashem's judgment and they continue to believe in Hashem. Kama Shanem is a positive in Yeshaya. Ochen, he says, Chalyenu, Hunosa. We find that, in fact, that the tzaddik has been suffering. His cholim is because of us, that we should learn as a model how we are supposed to deal with the happenings that occur. Umachoyveinu sevolom, and our pain, they are suffering. They are suffering because of us. Ve'yesh, and there's also a reason. Shiyeh, mipnei she'enoi mekanei lelikim lokachas adin. They're not moiche. Could be that is the oynish. Could be he's a tzaddik, he's a gavaldik tzaddik, but maybe he doesn't speak out. He sees things are happening in the world, and has a koyach to say something, has a koyach to take up for Kvod Shamayim, and he doesn't do it. Come on, Shidato, we find me'inyan Eli Yubonov, Eli Yakoyen. We find Elgabi his sins. The Potik says both sons were punished, Chofni and Pinchas. Now Chofni sinned. Pinchas did not sin, but yet Pinchas was also punished. Why? The reason is because the Gemara says in Shabbos, because he should have been Moiche on what his brother did, and he was not Moiche. So these are the situations. Again, this is very, very because there's something deserves to go into more. Mention in the future year, we'll talk about this more. Let me just conclude, Rabbi Samamish, one more minute here. In the writings of Rav Nachman Breslover, he points out the following. Said there was a person, basically, he says, who earned his living by digging clay. The Kizver of Nachman. The person who earned, he says, his livelihood, he says, by digging clay. Turns out that one day while he was digging, he happens to find a valuable diamond. He knows that the only place where he could find a proper market for this stone was in London. Far away, so he decides to travel to London. That's a place where he'll be able really to sell the diamond and get the proper worth. He didn't have any money, so when he boarded the ship, he shows the captain, he shows him the diamond, and he tells the captain that he would be amply rewarded when they reach the destination. He says, look, I have a diamond. I have no money to buy a ticket, you know. However, allow me passage on the boat. I have a diamond. So you see, there's a source from where to pay you. We'll be in London. Metro Shem, he says, I'll give you the money. Captain was impressed. He saw the diamond. He says, he gives him the first class cabin, and the man had a custom that, boy, he had this diamond. Till he found the diamond, the man had no money other than the diamond. So he enjoyed looking at the diamond, especially so when he ate, he says, the best way to enjoy food is to look at a diamond while you're chewing food. So he put the diamond on the table. Says, Rav Nachman, this was his habit, that the emulsi gegessen, so it gave him best appetite, you know, because then the diamond right in front of him, and he would be able to dream of the future, but of all the glicken that he's going to be able to derive, you know, from this diamond. So it turns out that while he's eating a particular meal, when he finishes, he says, the steward on the boat, he comes, and he cleans off the table, he shakes everything that was on the tablecloth in the ocean, including the diamond. The diamond ends in the water. End of diamond. The man sees what happened. So he realizes, he says, if you would tell the captain, he says, one of the captains can do to him. Now there's no chance that he's going to get paid. So what does he do? So he continues behaving as if nothing happened, and Mamish, he maintains a spirit of optimism. Besimcha, killing nothing. Mamish, nothing. Just goes on about Ke'il, he still has the diamond in his pocket. Meanwhile, he says, the captain had a problem, writes of Nachman. What's his problem? On the boat, he was carrying a cargo of wheat that was designated, he says, for England. But he learned that if he would deliver it in his own name, he would encounter several legal difficulties. So the captain comes over, he says to the man, he says, confides to the man, and he says to him, he asks him to sign a bill of lading, placing all the wheat in the man's name. And he agreed. So all the cargo of the wheat he puts in the man's name. The ship continues on its journey. Shortly before they arrive in England, the captain suddenly dies. No, here you have a young man, the entire ship of wheat in his name. It was worth more than the diamond, and he's now wealthy. No. So Nachum points out, he says, the diamond clearly did not belong to the person. The proof is it didn't remain with him. The wheat was meant to be his. The raya, because it didn't end up with him. How did Kodesh Baruch Hu make it? He finds a diamond, but the diamond is not his. It's through the diamond that he gets the wheat. And that was the intention. So just want to point out that the Alter Navardik used to say many, many times. He didn't quote Reb Nachum, believe me. But he said like this. He says many, many times, he says, people are used to a particular career. And Navada, that's their career. But for whatever the reason is, it seems that the career is coming to an end, or the business is coming to an end. And they push it, they become despair, they fall into tremendous situation of complacency in their lack of emunah. They don't find chizik. They think that their whole success, everything, was on the mahalah that it went till now. People are not used to changes. The Valna Adik says that for some reason in your life that you need a career change, to change your job. He says the worry that you have because you have to change your job is analogous, he said, to a certain blacksmith statement. And that is, he says, a blacksmith once said the following, he says. He says, how fortunate I am, he says, that I chose to become a blacksmith. What's the raya? So if I would have become a jeweler, he says, I would have starved to death. What's the raya? Because in the 30 years I was a blacksmith, not one person approached me about jewelry. He said, Kodesh Baruch Hu could have made you a jeweler, then you would have pronounced as a jeweler, he says. You're a blacksmith. How do you pronounce it from jewelry, he says. So that's the boy's side. That's the nekuda. You know, how do you spell the word dago? Dalad, Aleph, Gimel, Hey. In dago, you have four letters, starting from Aleph to Hey. But one letter is missing. The base of Bitochen. Then you have dago, then you have worry. So put in the base, Rabbi Isai, and dago is removed. That's the side.